You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is
Suckers.
I'm Kaylin Bell.
I'm Dean Bell.
And I'm Jared Haben.
An iHeartRadio podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to an all-new episode of Suckers, Kaylin's Corner. I am so excited about this episode because I've been waiting a month for it. We are finally doing book club. If this is your first episode, make sure you have read The Nightingale before you listen because this is one of the best books I have ever read, and I do not want to spoil one second for you. Oh my gosh. I can't stop thinking about this book. And I have to thank Jess Higgins for this recommendation. On my notes, I have a list of books and it's about 50 books long. And Jess, we were in Hawaii a few months ago and she went through this list and she was like, The Nightingale, make sure that's number one on your list. Like you have to read that first. And so that's been marked for a while, but I got so deep into the fantasy world that I couldn't pull myself out of it. And honestly, if it weren't for this book club, I would still be deep in fantasy. And who knows how long it would have taken me to get out of it because I talked about this on TikTok. But I read Fourth Wing, which led to ACOTAR, which led to Throne of Glass, which led to Crescent City. So it's been a few months of fairies and dragons, and it was very nice to pop back into the real world for a little bit. And I'm so happy it was with this book because I just can't stop thinking about it. It was phenomenal. Kristen Hannah's writing was so beautiful. It was so well done. So I want to start, I know we've all read it, but I want to start with a synopsis of the book, just a little refresher. I was just looking at my notes and I finished it last week, but there's already things that I forgot. And it was not like a super heavy book by any means, but so much happened and there's so many characters and oh, it's great. Kristen Hannah's The Nightingale tells the story of Vianne and Isabelle, two French sisters who resist the occupying Nazi forces during World War II by hiding Jewish children so they are not taken to concentration camps and by leading the escape of Allied pilots whose planes have been shot down over France. Okay, jumping into this book, I was immediately drawn in by the French, like the little bits of French here and there. I loved it because I'm trying to learn French, so that was just like a little nice added thing for me. I also thought Kristen Hannah did a really good job. So the book starts out with a flash forward of a woman thinking back on her life. She has cancer. She's dying. She's moving into a home. Then you jump back in time. And I thought it was about Vianne because you jump back into Vianne's life. So I'm like, that flash forward was for sure about Vianne with this son, Julian. And Kristen did such a good job of never mentioning Sophie, never mentioning anyone else. So I had convinced myself until the very end that the flash forward was Isabelle. And I was wrong, unfortunately. But I think she did a really good job of that, of just like giving you tidbits here and there. I was just really, really holding on hope. But with the characters, I felt like Vianne is me. Like she keeps her head down. She listens to authority. It's very, very much who I am, like rule follower to a T. And Isabelle is more of who I want to be, like standing up for what you believe in, saying screw you to authoritative figures if they're wrong. And then I realized while reading it, I was like, Vianne is very much who I am and Dean is very much Isabel. So I kind of liked those parallels. And I loved Isabel's character. I loved her journey. I just loved everything about her. My one qualm was her telling Gate, I don't know how to say his name, Gaetan, that she loved him after meeting him for, she barely knew the guy. She'd known him for maybe 24 hours at that point, maybe less. And she says, I love you. That took me by surprise. And it made sense for her character in that moment where she was in her life. She was just like desperate for love and to be appreciated and accepted. But it makes sense. But then she would, I thought, would just move on and find another man. And I don't know. But the fact that she said, I love you and held on to that and was just waiting for that the entire book really took me by surprise and didn't totally make sense to me. All that to say, I did really love their love story and loved them together, especially the end, but I don't want to jump ahead. I also think that Vianne's character arc was amazing. I just related to her so much, even though I didn't really like her at times. She just like went from being so obedient, keeping her head down, to then having this drastic shift. She kicked her sister out of her house. She was like, you are going to get us killed, which I thought for sure something was going to happen. I thought Isabel was being so reckless. To then saving 19 children and risking her life, risking her children's life, doing everything she could to save these children. It was so beautiful. And to find out the whole family, it was a family of rebels in the most beautiful way. Her dad was working on, changing people's names and making sure that they could be saved. Isabel was saving all these airmen. And then Vianne took part in her family's legacy, essentially, and was saving children too. It was really, really beautiful. Reading this book just made me have such a different perspective on World War II. And I know this is fiction, obviously, but World War II happened and these things happened in some way or another, like maybe not directly, but these things happened. This war was just atrocious and disgusting and brutal. And when I think about it, that's what I think about are the concentration camps, are Nazis. And I've never really thought about the way that Nazis slowly took over European countries. It was good to put all of that into perspective for me. They controlled what they ate. They controlled vehicles, radios, curfew. And then to see the way that they turned against Jewish people, like we know now that was always their intention, but it was started with anti-Jewish propaganda. Then they slowly outed the Jews by firing them from their jobs and then making them wear yellow stars and then taking certain people to quote unquote working camps. Then, some Jews were safe, some weren't, and then all Jews are not safe. And that progression was just so terrifying. I also, again, loved Isabel. She's so fearless and truly all she wanted. She's abandoned by her sister, her dad, her mom died. She had no one. And even growing up with her sister wanted absolutely nothing to do with her. So she was just alone her whole life. And I think just, of course, caused her to be reckless and rebel. And everyone really thought the worst of her, which she was eventually able to use to her advantage and let people think the worst of her so she could do what she needed to do to rescue these airmen. But her fearlessness and recklessness at first, I was like, she is going to get someone killed when Nazis are first taking over France and they're like being forced to pass over their radios and stuff. I'm like, you need to be smart and not stupid in this situation because they will kill you. And I really thought she would have a different end. But I think her fearlessness and recklessness really paid off in her becoming the Nightingale. Even though she said she felt untouchable, I think this was such a necessary shift in her character. It was like once she was able to say the Nightingale flew and cross those mountains. Oh my gosh. I'm just obsessed with Isabel. I thought she was the most fascinating character and not what I expected of her, honestly. From going to meeting Gate and saying, I love you, let me fight in this. Like I read a book about this woman who helped in World War I or the Great War, and I want to be just like that. To actually becoming that was incredible. And just going back to the Nazi occupation, the food and everything being stolen from them, I really loved Beck's character, honestly. It seemed like he was like, oh my gosh, I got into this war. I thought it would be something else. And I don't know what to do. Like, he seemed like he was doing everything in his power to be good despite being a Nazi, you know? And that internal struggle that we saw a little bit was super interesting to me. But I was surprised. There was a point where Vianne goes to Beck's office and she sees piles and piles of food. And Beck watched Vianne starve and pass out from starvation and have to be bedridden. She watched Sophie starve. Like, I'm surprised. I think he helped out a little bit, but I feel like he could have helped out a lot more. Could have stolen some food. So Beck warned Vianne to get her best friend out of her house and to hide. Obviously, Sarah was killed in that. I think that really broke something in Vianne, something necessary, like broke in her, where she was like, okay, I can't just sit idly by. Like, Isabel's been right this whole time. And Sarah's death just, oh, it was like part of my heartbreaking in this book. The fact that it wasn't just one bullet hole, it was many bullets. And then the mom having to just go on anyways, and oh, just absolutely heartbreaking. And that shift, I think if it wasn't for Sarah's death, I don't think Vianne would have been able to kill Beck. And his death really shocked me. I was honestly really sad for him. I grew to like him as a character. Again, he's a Nazi and he is the enemy, but I do think he was trying his best to, he was having conflicting feelings and conflicting emotions, but doing his best to save as many people as he could. From my perspective, I feel like he seemed like a good guy and he didn't really agree with what he was having to do. But I was really shocked by his death. And I thought for sure that Vianne and him were going to do something. Like, I thought for sure they were going to cheat on their spouses. It seemed like it was really building up to that. Really, really took me by surprise. And I think that was great writing by Kristen, because I was like, duh, this is so obvious. This is about to happen. But after Sarah's death, it was just, I mean, all of this was the start of Sophie having to grow up really fast. And I think a huge focus is on Isabel and how amazing she is and Vianne. But I think Sophie is a very underrated character, and she just had to grow up so fast. She lost her best friend. She's watching war in front of her eyes. She's watching her mother starve. She's watching her Jewish friends be kicked out of school, her Jewish teachers being kicked out. Like, she's seeing all this at the butcher shop. She's like, this isn't right. Like, this is not their shop. What's going on here? So her having to grow up really fast and then losing Sarah was heartbreaking. And then taking Sarah's brother and making him her own brother, only to eventually lose him. Then she had to lie to her father. Like, there's so much that Sophie had to deal with. I think she was 14, maybe, or 13, 14, when that horrible officer was belayed at their house, and she just had to watch what's happening to her mom and shield her now little brother. Gosh, it's such a heartbreaking book, but also so, so good.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another heartbreaking moment was Antoine's return. Oh my gosh, it's like you're just waiting and waiting and waiting for him to come home, and then he comes home and it's just not the same. It's not that they fell out of love, but they went through so much that it was hard to come back together again. And then on top of it, Vianne had to lie to him and then lie to her son about who his father was. Oh, back to Beck real quick. Sorry, I'm just reading through my notes. I do wonder if Vianne told Beck, like, hey, I know where the soldier is. He is down below, stowed away with my sister. Let's hide the guy's body. Let's say you found him, but please let my sister go. Maybe I'm thinking too highly of Beck, but he seemed like a good enough guy that they could have made it work. And maybe that's just one of those lingering questions that you're like, what if? And maybe I am dumb for thinking that, but I really do believe that Beck would have helped them to the best of his ability. Like, they could have just hid the body and just been like, I found him. All's good. I feel like every point is heartbreaking, but another heartbreaking point was the dad and finally stepping up, becoming a dad and only to be killed. But he did save his daughter and just, oh, her being tortured in the fridge. I didn't even write that down, but that just really haunted me. I was shocked that the dad was the one forging the papers. And it was odd to me that Isabel is in Paris and they're like, don't tell your father. But then her father knew the whole time. So that was another weird point for me. Maybe they were just testing her in some way. But I was really, really shocked to find out that he was the one forging papers and he wasn't this slime ball working with the Germans. You know, he was doing his best to help in the resistance. I really did believe he was serving them. I believed everything Isabel said about him. And then the fact that he saved his daughter and Vianne named her son with von Richter after her dad. That one, when it clicked for me, it took a while for it to be like, Julian, oh my gosh, that's who the son is named after. And still, I was still thinking it was Isabel. Like, I was holding on until the very last second, even when she's sick, I'm still like convincing myself that Isabel is alive. A really precious moment for me was Sophie holding on to that invisible line where Isabel told her when she was just a little kid, she's like, I can make myself invisible. And Sophie held on to that. All this time as she grew older, they're looking for Isabel. They're trying to figure out which concentration camp she's at. Why hasn't she been found yet? And then Sophie says, well, maybe she just made herself invisible to escape. It was like, oh, I can't believe she held on to that for so long. Something that I really hated about this book was that, and it wasn't anything to do with Kristen's writing. It's more about the character, but the fact that Vianne didn't tell Antoine it made me so mad. I'm like, he would understand. I have to believe that he would understand. Like, you didn't choose this. You didn't want this. That guy was a monster. And the fact that Sophie knew whose baby that was and who her brother's father was this whole time. And the fact that it was just their secret and she didn't tell Antoine. But also a part of me wonders too, when she was going to tell Antoine, he was like, let's just move on. Let's just, you know, what happened happened. So maybe he knew. And that makes me feel better about it all. Daniel leaving and not understanding why he's leaving and them saying that they kind of need to erase that family and he needs to start over, only to find out that he never forgot them. It's just so sad. But I'm so happy that he found Vian, even though she's has cancer and probably only has a few more years left. But the fact that he found her, and maybe him and Julian, these fake people that I'm so invested in, maybe him and Julian can be friends and bond and spend time together because they both live in America. Ugh. I mentioned in the beginning, I was holding on hope that this flash forward was Isabel. And even when she is dying and it's clear that she's not doing well, she has pneumonia, she's super, super sick. And then she meets up with Gate. I'm like, I know that this is Isabel. I know she's going to get better. I know she's going to fight through it. She's going to have a baby with Gate and they're going to name that baby Julian. Like, this is about her until the very next chapter. And you find out that she passed. It honestly, this book just broke me. That last chapter where it's like one thing after another. It's Vian's speech on stage. It's seeing that the airmen that Isabel saved now have families. It's Julian realizing that his mother was also a hero. Seeing Daniel again. It's seeing Gate again and finding out that Gate named his daughter Isabel. It was so beautiful and tragic. It's one of the best books I've ever read. I rated it a 5 out of 5 on Goodreads, and pretty much everything I rate is a 4 out of 5. I love this book so much. I'm very surprised people are critical of this book and saying that they couldn't get into it. It did take me like, I don't know, maybe like 3 or 4 chapters to get into it. Maybe a little bit, but I'm also coming from ACOTAR where it takes you a whole book and a half to get into, so it's not that crazy for me. Maybe people don't like sadness, and I totally get that. It's definitely not an upper of a book, but still beautiful and still wonderful. And I'm so happy I read it and we'll probably read it again someday. But that's going to do it for The Nightingale. And I do want to talk about next month's book club. I'm really, really going to try to get Dean to read this one because it's a lot easier to banter when it's two people. Obviously, I can't banter with myself. It's a lot easier when he's here to kind of bounce ideas off of and see if we came to the same conclusions about things. With that being said, I do have a list here of books that I want to read. Some I've looked into, some I haven't. Some have popped up on TikTok. Okay, Magnolia Parks is all over TikTok for me. So would love to read that one if you guys are into it. Inheritance Games, heard that one's good. I haven't looked too much into it. I really want to read The Women, but we just read Kristen Hannah. So it's like to do 2 Kristen Hannah books, probably not great. Kiri Soto is back. I've heard that's good. It's about tennis. Book Lovers, A Little Life, A Man Called Ove, Just Kids. So if you have any ideas, if you like any of these, let me know. I'll probably do another poll on Instagram. I think it would be super helpful if Dean could read it or get one of my friends to jump on with me. Maybe I can get Jess to jump on and we can chat books. For everyone who suggested The Nightingale, I know I did a poll and I got a lot of DMs saying yes, 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 yes. Thank you for encouraging us to read this month. I'm so happy I read it and I can't wait for next month. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you tune in next week. We'll talk about pop culture and I'll fill you in on what book we're reading. But make sure you tune in next week where maybe we suck just a little bit less.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.